And good afternoon. It's Thursday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2019, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the next 2 hours, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. Our guest has not been with us since Election Day, 2018. That was a great day. We had Ted Williams in here, and Governor Strickland, and Mayor Schertzer, and Satch Sullinger. It was a lot of fun to cover that election, so it'll be great to get the thoughts of the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. We haven't talked since the election, Mary Ellen.
No, we haven't, Scott.
It's a long time, three months.
I know. It doesn't seem that long, though.
It doesn't.
No.
We talked to you that night via telephone before the election was called.
Right.
What do you think happened in Ohio?
I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know. It was because the reason I can't figure it out, the other states went Democratic, but Ohio didn't. And it was a strange situation.
It's interesting. You're right, because Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin all tended back to the Democrat, mm-hmm. but Ohio, which they thought was going to tend back to the Democrat, didn't.
Yeah.
What do you make of polls now? Because the polls that day showed Cordray leading for mayor, not by a lot, but by some.
Yeah.
They showed Danny O'Connor as possibly being a contender for that seat. And boy, none of that shook out.
No. No, I don't know the polls, whether people are answering the questions correctly. Maybe they're giving the opposite answer just to foul things up. You don't know what's going on there.
What do you make of the Democratic Party as a whole as we head into a big election in 2020?
Oh, I think it's vibrant. We've got a lot of good people running for president. It's very, very exciting. And, you know, Sherrod's thinking about it. I imagine he'll run. But you know, there's so many good people.
Do you think Sherrod Brown would be among the front runners if he does decide to get in?
I think he probably would, yeah.
Do you think he would fare better, because it's going to be a big field on the Democratic side,
right,
than John Kasich did from Ohio on the Republican side in a big field last time?
Well, yeah, I think Sherrod will handle it very well. Kasich is in a strange situation right now, you know.
He's working for CNN.
Is he?
Signed that contract after he left the governor's spot. What do you see him doing?
I don't know. I never can guess what he's going to do. Yeah.
He seems like he has ambition.
Yeah, I think he does. And he's young. He's not that old. So he could be doing something else, but I think he's probably going to analyze the situation for the next few months. You know, that everybody's getting in there early, and it's a long time to be campaigning. It's hard on you.
This weekend, officially, Elizabeth Warren got in the race, but she's had a lot of problem since she even said she was going to run for president.
Yeah.
What do you make of her so far?
Well, she's a little too aggressive for me. She's wonderful in what she's doing. I mean, her knowledge of finance and handling the banks was unreal. But running for president, she's, I don't know, she's just a little too aggressive as I watch her in her campaigning. You have to be aggressive. I mean, that sounds strange, but that's the way she looks to me. She's just trying too hard, you know?
The other night, did you see the video of her drinking a beer?
Yeah, that kind of bothered me a little bit. I've heard other people mention that, too. That was not good. There's so many times a candidate in the spur of the moment, thinks something will be good, and it turns out to be the worst thing they could do. And that just did not look good.
You know, it's interesting. Last night, I heard a commentator come on, because there's a story right now, which I don't even know why these are stories, but that President Trump made a comment in a speech the other night that he just doesn't have time for a dog at the White House.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. And the reporter was saying that this is what people like about President Trump, that he's authentic. He probably doesn't like dogs. And then you have people like Elizabeth Warren, who probably is not drinking a beer in front of the camera all the time. And Hillary Clinton, I think at one point, said she had hot sauce in her, and she was knocking back that turkey alcohol when she was running for president, and people thought that it looked inauthentic.
I didn't see that. Yeah.
I forget where that was, where the turkeys are big. But that when you run for office on that level, do you have to be inauthentic to some certain degree? You can't be yourself?
Well, you have to watch what you do. I mean, there's certain things that you just don't want to do, and you know that, but you will get caught up in the moment sometimes, and you will say something, and it happens to everybody, and you just have to be so careful.
They were on Kamala Harris, I think, on Monday, because she was on a talk show, and she talked about smoking marijuana, but she said she was listening to some music, and the music in the time that she said that she was using it was not out. So it looked inauthentic. Is that lack of experience campaigning for president, lack of doing interviews?
Several years ago, it was a kiss of death.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But now it seems to be a little different situation. I don't know. Did somebody ask her, or did she volunteer this?
They asked her, and she said that yes, she did, but it was in college. And I say that the problem that she got into, I don't think it was that she said she did it in college. I think it was that she said she was listening to a certain type of music. Why she went that far, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But then somebody, you know, people on the internet are ready to pounce on people.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, well, now, wait a second. You were in college in the 80s, and the music you're talking about listening to did not come out until the 90s.
Oh, really?
So, again, it went back to, was that an inauthentic answer?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Huh. It just, are people trying too hard too soon? We still have 2 years to go.
I know. Yeah. It's it's going to be brutal.
What do you make of Biden?
Well, I think it's wise, if he's going to run, that he hasn't got in yet, because the minute he gets in, they'll start tearing him up. That's the way it is, you know. The longer you stay out, the more they like you. Then when you get in, they don't like you anymore.
Well, they said that was Hillary Clinton's problem. Yeah. People liked her when she wasn't running.
Yeah, yeah.
But when she's running for something, they don't like her.
Yeah, that's right.
What is that?
I don't know. I can't. It's strange. I can't figure it out. I've thought about that a lot. And she was in so many different positions in government that they had a lot that they could judge her on. And the people running now are all fairly new, except now Sherrod isn't new. He's been there. He's been there as long as I was there, and he's still there. So he's been there a long time. When you're there a long time, there's a lot to look into, and that's the thing with Biden and Sanders and all those people that's been around a long time. I think the world of Biden, but I don't know about him running for president.
so many women in this time, usually not the case at all.
Right.
Do you think that's calculated or it's just happened?
I think it's because of the situation in the world. I swear, women reacted terribly when Hillary lost, and all the women that were elected in the fall, last fall, is a result of that. And it's still there. I mean, women want to do their part and to make things right. And that's what's happening.
Nancy Pelosi, since we spoke last, became Speaker of the House and has assumed that position.
Yeah.
And people thought, I heard before she took the gavel back, that she was too old, that she couldn't handle it. Boy, they're singing a different tune now.
Boy, does she look good for her age, I swear. She really does a good job and looks good. I don't know how she manages so well, but she's very good at the job.
This whole government shutdown, the longest one ever.
Yeah.
You were there for the second longest one, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it? What is it like in Washington?
There's nobody in the building but you. You know, it was very strange, very lonely. And you listened to what people were mad, that the people that were put out of their job were mad about it. And they said they were never going to vote for another Republican. They blamed the Republicans right away. And, it was a strange situation.
During this last government shutdown, there were people who wanted the wall. I think there still are, about 40%, something like that, if you believe the polls, which who can anymore?
Yeah, right.
Why was there absolutely no compromise? What I was shocked about in the last government shutdown was there was zero. You had one side saying, I have to have $5.7 billion, and the other side saying, I'm not going to give you a dollar. Well, now we're compromising. I think it's, what, billion and a half? That it'll...
$1.3 billion,
yeah.
I think.
So why couldn't that have happened in the beginning?
Well, it probably could have, but... she was proving a point, I think. I think she was showing her strength. And then the thought was that we have to compromise, so they gave a little.
The government shutdown, which was the longest until this past one, that you were in office during in the 90s under President Clinton, as you say, made him very popular.
Yeah.
And they blamed the Republicans for that. I think Newt Gingrich...
Yeah.
Ended up being on his way out because of that.
That's right.
Will this backfire on Pelosi?
I don't think so.
Do you think it's going to change anything with the president?
Well, honestly, he manages to squirm his way back into the approval. I don't know. He is such a study in human nature. I mean... If it's got something to do with him, he likes it. If it doesn't, he wants nothing to do with it, and he's such a study.
Here we are in the midst of tax time, and so much of your life has been involved with money.
Yeah.
Which is the best way to do it? Is it best to give a little in every check to people, or is it best to give them a lump sum every year at tax time? Because that's what the argument is right now for middle-class people. They got more back in their check in the last year, week by week, and now they're finding out that their return is not going to be as large as it had been. Now, it would have been if they hadn't got as much back in their check. Is there a better philosophy on that, one way or the other?
Well, I think the worst thing about it is what it's doing to our debt. I mean, the tax cut, you know, the Republicans just love to have a tax cut every time they come in office. And you can't do that. We owe like $23 trillion. And a lot of this is due to Trump. And I just feel that something should be done to address that rather than tax cuts and things that are ridiculous just to make him look good. That's all it was done, is to make him look good.
It's interesting. George W. I think the only president that this didn't happen with was George H.W. Bush. But Reagan, George W. Bush, and President Trump all got the tax cuts through. I mean, they went through Congress and the Senate. Why does that always happen? Because they don't have to go along with it.
When Clinton was in office, he had a surplus. And then George Bush came in and spent it like a drunken sailor and had, you know, the medicine plan and gave that away and all the and then the Iraq War, which is terrible, and none of that was necessary.
The State of the Union speech was interesting, and I commented the next day. There were parts of it that certainly were very Republican, and you always see the Republicans stand up and clap, and it's that way every time there's a State of the Union, but there were things in President Trump's speech that the Republicans looked confused about because they seemed like very Democratic issues, like the withdrawal from Syria, the paid leave for men and women for when a baby is born, maternity leave, the pre-existing conditions, keeping that in place, creating a law to keep that in place. And I thought, these are very Democratic issues that he's talking about. And when he would say something like that, the Republicans almost look, should we get up and clap for this, or what should we do? And applauded more women being around. What did you make of the State of the Union?
Well, it was a very Trump speech. I mean, I thought it was... I didn't care for it, to be blunt. But I've been to a couple of State of the Union speeches, and you get tired standing up and sitting down. I said, it gets to be ridiculous. And I remember I went, first time I went, Annie Glenn gave me her ticket, and I was sitting in her seat then, and I was sitting behind... Ted Kennedy's wife, and I met her, and it was H.W. Bush's State of the Union speech after the first Iraq War, and everybody was happy, you know, and his polls were way up, and yeah, and then the world changed.
It did. Yeah. It's interesting, since we've met last, he passed away.
Yeah.
In late November, early December. And it's interesting, during his, the week of mourning that we usually have when a president dies, and we should, no matter who the president is, history looked a lot better on him, I thought, for a one-term president.
Well, they look better on him because of what we're dealing with right now. Trump makes everybody look really good.
George H.W. Bush, obviously, you did not vote for him when he was in office, but there was an example of compromise, a compromise that probably hurt him. Read my lips, no new taxes, and then he did.
Yeah.
He didn't play politics in that area.
Yeah.
That couldn't happen today, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
What changed?
People are getting tougher about things.
Do you think that hurt him the most in that re-election campaign? Yeah, we had a recession.
No, you know what I think hurt him the most was the grocery store not knowing what the way things were checked out. I think that hurt him really the most.
I was on President's Day, which is coming up. We'll get the list as we do every year. They rank the presidents. You know, he keeps creeping up the list for a one-term president.
Yeah.
People forget the Soviet Union did fall under his watch. They give the credit to Reagan, but it did happen while Bush was president, and he didn't go brag about it.
No, that you really give him credit for that.
And I say he did compromise when it came to the taxes. he knew that he had to know that was going to hurt him.
Yeah.
And he also, he did the Iraq War number one, was successful.
Oh, very successful. He got everybody, all the other countries in it. He really did it the right way.
And again, for a Republican president, he passed the Americans with Disabilities Act, which, you know, I can understand why people look at him as a good president.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of fault.
Yeah.
Socially, he was interesting for a Republican.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have Republicans like him anymore.
I don't think so.
His son was not like him.
No, I don't. I think he was in over his head. Yeah.
What'd you think of his son's eulogy, though?
Oh, I thought he did a great job. That funeral was just really done well.
It was cordial.
Yes.
And the president came, Trump, and sat next to Obama, and they exchanged pleasantries. You know, it's nice that we can still have a little peace here and there.
Yeah.
Is Ohio now, in your opinion, still a swing state after what we've seen?
No, I don't think it's swinging very much anymore. I wish we could get it back to that.
Because really now, I think the Democratic philosophy is, it was Hillary's philosophy, I know, that we don't have to win Ohio to win the election. Republicans do. If Democrats carry Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, they win. They don't have to carry Ohio. Republicans, because of losses in states with big delegates like California and New York, they have to win Ohio. There's usually no route for them if they don't win Ohio.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any, if any candidate on the Democratic side who could make this state blue in 2020?
Well, probably Sherrod Brown. Yeah.
I think he was the only Democrat.
He and the two that won the Ohio Supreme Court and three House members, I believe. Yeah, but that's pretty slim. But, yeah, he ran very well.
Being living in Marion now, local politics, what did you make of the outcome of the local races last time around?
Well, let's see. The local races being, what were they?
Prosecutor and county
commissioner. Oh, I was shocked. I was shocked that they lost. Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing was, I just didn't expect any of that to happen the way that it did. But you never know.
As we approach this year, the facts in Marion are very strange. You know, I've covered politics here for a long time, and I've never seen a time where one Democrat has won in the last 3 years. One time. Sheriff Bailey won in 2016. The only Democrat to win.
Yeah.
And all county commissioners are Republican now. That's not been the case for a long time. And city council is Republican. Since 2017, majority for the first time in a long time. I didn't think local that the R and the D used to matter. That's changing, it seems like.
Well, I think we've talked about this before, Scott. When Bill Berger was here, he turned the whole thing, all the elections around to be Democratic, and we were very strong democratically, and I think there needs to be somebody strong in the Democratic Party, and I don't know who that would be. Yeah.
This coming election, the mayor is running for a fourth term.
Yeah.
Do you think this will be a more difficult race than the others?
I don't know. Scott's done a good job, and I don't know how things will go.
A lot of young candidates, Tanner Hale running for office, Tara Dyer taking another shot at it here, city council. Do you think the Democrats have a good lineup in Marion this coming fall where they can turn this around from only winning one race in the last 3 years.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to predict, Scott. I have no idea what's going to happen.
More people are turning out to vote. What do you think has caused that? Even in off-year elections, more people are voting than they used to.
Well, that's good. That's a plus.
People are getting involved, mm-hmm. On both sides, I think.
Yeah.
I noticed the newspaper covers politics a lot more than they used to. A lot of political stories. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It didn't used to be this much, and maybe that's why more people are involved.
Mm-hmm.
When you were working in city government, county government, what is that like to work in county as opposed to state?
Well, it's a lot different. State is so much more difficult, really. You're dealing with the whole state of Ohio, and you have to, people don't know you. Only Marion County knows you, and maybe a few people around the edge, but you go into the, and it was the same way when I went to Washington. Nobody knows you, except Ohio knew me, but nobody else knew me, and I had to, you have to win them over. That's your biggest objective, is to win over the people that you're working for, you know. So, you have to figure out ways to do that.
When you went to Washington permanently in 94, what was the atmosphere like there? It was, Republicans had just taken the House in that big...
They hadn't taken it yet when I went
there. It was early in the year.
They took it right after I got there, and I remember I was shocked. And I was working out in the yard one day, and my neighbor said, "Well, you're going to be here another 4 years, it looks like."
Did you say it nicely?
She did.
Good.
I was planting tulip bulbs out by my light, the outside light. And her name, we called her, Willa, bring him back alive, Willa. She was a nurse, and she had, I guess, been a good nurse, and she was my neighbor. I had all these retired women living around me. Most of them, their husbands were gone, and so they were widows, and then that changed while I was there. They passed away, and other people bought their houses, and it all changed.
You talk about coming in 94 as an unknown and having to win them over. How'd you win them over?
You mean in what level?
To be friendly, to be recognizable, to be thought of well.
Yeah, on the state level, you mean, or on the federal?
National.
That's the reason I went to the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, and I met with everybody that worked there, had my picture taken with them, and then they said, "Well, the second shift's going to be really disappointed." So I went back and did the second shift, and then the third shift, they said the third shift would, so I went back and did the third shift. I did the same thing in Fort Worth, and it was the best thing I could have done. Nobody else has done it, but people still have my picture, you know, it won them over.
You know, I don't think we've ever talked about this, but when you were sworn in March 1st, 1994, Lloyd Benson was there, who was a big name mm-hmm. in politics. He was the vice presidential running mate for Michael Dukakis. He's the where you see him a lot is the famous line when they do presidential debates, and he looked at Dan Quayle and said, "You call yourself the new Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy, and you're no Jack Kennedy."
Right.
What kind of guy was he?
Oh, he was so nice. He was my favorite of all the three that I worked for. He was just the nicest person he could be, yeah.
When there's a transition, when he would leave and the next person would come in, how does that change?
Well, everybody goes crazy in Treasury trying to get everything just so. And it's wild. I mean, they go overboard. And and the next one comes in and then they leave and then the next one comes in. They're all different. They're all very smart. They were all very good to work for. But Lloyd Benson was my favorite.
When you went to Washington, did anything surprise you leaving the state of Ohio?
Yes, there was a lot of things that surprised me. I was surprised at how long it took to accomplish anything. But I said it's the whole United States, and I said you've got to make sure it's correct. I was captain of my own ship when I was state treasurer, but I wasn't in that position when I was U.S. treasurer, so it was a different situation. But I really enjoyed it. It was a wonderful job.
There were so many wonderful things that you did while you were there, and we'll talk about those next hour, but is there anything you really wanted to get done that you didn't get done?
No. Yes, there was. I was trying to meet as many heads of departments as I could, and I didn't get all of that accomplished. There's so much to the federal government, and it's so fascinating, everything that they can do. I would meet with somebody and I'd learn all about what they were doing, and then I'd meet with somebody else and learn about what they were doing, and it was fascinating.
Before you take the job, what kind of, we talk about the scrutiny that people who are running for office now go to, being appointed to that position before you took it, what kind of scrutiny were you put through? I'm sure background checks.
Oh, the FBI.
FBI.
Yeah. They talked to 36 of my employees. They talked to my friends and neighbors. They even talked to my sixth grade teacher.
And really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They went to Harding High School to make sure I graduated. And, It was interesting. People and it was interesting. People didn't say anything to me.
Really?
I mean, you know, maybe 4 or 5 months later, somebody'd say, "Oh, I talked to the FBI and I gave them cookies." And
well, that's nice. Yeah. That's an Ohio friendly welcome.
But you know, they didn't call me up right away and say, "I just talked to the FBI. Guess what they wanted to know?" You know, they didn't do that. Yeah, it was like they were kind of keeping it a secret. I thought that was strange, yeah.
I was watching a show the other night that had to do with the FBI. It was FBI or CIA. And they were talking about how when somebody comes to Washington to work, that there is a meeting before they go to whatever office they're going to where they tell them this and that and the other. Was there any kind of meeting?
Oh, yeah. And they took me, there was a lot of meetings. They took me to all of the finance committee people that were on the finance committee. I met with them one-on-one. Moynihan was chairman of it at that time. Grassley, who was chairman of the thing against Kavanaugh, he was on the committee. Orrin Hatch was on the committee, still on it. He left just a few weeks ago from his job. And I, you know, they were all very, very nice to me. I think it was quite an experience. There would be somebody from Treasury that would go with me to each one of these, and they would make sure everything was okay. Yeah, and then you have your meeting with the Finance Committee. That's where they vote on you, and then the whole Senate votes on you after that. And so it's quite a procedure. A lot of this went on. They were anxious to get me in there because my predecessor went to prison, and she was a felon, and they didn't want a felon's name on the money. And they wanted to get me in there as fast as they could at that point. And so everything was moving right along, I might say.
Did you go through a hearing like we see with, seems everybody now that is picked?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of questions did they ask?
They didn't. They had voted on me before I got in there.
Really?
Yeah. But they let me speak, and they let John Glenn speak and Howard Metzenbaum speak, and it's all on the record. But it was they voted on me before I went in. Yeah.
What had to do with the predecessor wanting to get her in?
I think they were just anxious. Yeah, they were anxious to get me in there. And Lloyd Benson was anxious to get me in there, too, because he was getting tired of working. He was up there in years, and he wanted to get his name. He couldn't get his name on the money till I was appointed. So,
1994, 25 years ago, coming up here in just a few days, March, what was the atmosphere in Washington like in those days? This is pre-9/11.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I don't think so bipartisan as it is now.
No, it wasn't, no.
Was it a fun place to be?
Yeah, it really was. There was a lot of competition in Treasury. It seemed that there was a lot of people trying to make a name for themselves, I guess I would say it that way. But there's only one treasurer of the United States, you know? And so you're in a position, you pretty much set your own style of doing things and make your choices on what you want to do. The only thing they told me, they wanted me to talk about saving because our saving rate was so low. It was between 3 and 4%. So from there, I was marketing savings bonds. I was going out and speaking about Treasury constantly, and that was my life, you know.
I remember the savings bond push. Did that hit the fruition that they wanted it to? Did it hit the
height? Yeah, it was doing very well when I left, and then everything collapsed when George Bush came in because he had his own saving plan that he couldn't get passed. But the people were taken out of the saving bond department and put in other departments, and it was done away with, really. You can still buy a savings bond, but you have to find the right bank to do it, you know.
What are the advantages to it as opposed to investing in a 401k or a stock market?
Well, it was probably just being patriotic. Most of all the servicemen buy a lot of savings bonds. They're the biggest buyers. And then they had changed it to, it used to be that you would buy a savings bond, you'd put down an amount of money and then finish it out, where you started from scratch on these. And it took too long to pay for a savings bond, I thought. I didn't really like that setup as well as I did the other way. And the rate, sometimes, you know, the rate would be better than your 401. It was interesting how it worked. And we sold a lot of savings bonds.
Do want to let people know we've got about 6 minutes left in this hour. Mary Ellen's going to be with us next hour, and next hour we're going to talk a lot about the big event coming up on Friday, March the 1st. We will be at Tony Paco's, the most famous hot dog restaurant in the world, Friday, March the 1st, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m., Charlie Evers, Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Mike Wilson, and myself will be there, as well as Mary Ellen. The vice president of Tony Paco's will be along with us that day as well. And if you don't know the tradition at Tony Paco's, you sign a hot dog bun, and it's put up on the wall forever. It was started by Burt Reynolds years ago, and Nancy Reagan is there, Mr. T is there, Burt Reynolds, of course, Jamie Farr, and a whole host of other athletes, politicians, actors. And on that day, during the broadcast from 11:15 to 3 p.m., Mary Ellen will sign one of the buns, and of course we'll have pictures and things that we'll put up on the Facebook page. But listen to the broadcast that day, Friday, March the 1st, 2019, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., streaming live here on the station and over the air. And the reason we chose that date, if I didn't mention, it's the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen being sworn in as Treasurer of the United States. We'll talk about that day in 94 when we come back from the break. But to finish up this hour in the political questions, Hillary Clinton, she's confusing people again because she seems to think that she doesn't want to run, but then two of her advisors came out in January in the Wall Street Journal, which is a very respected newspaper, and said she's absolutely planning to run, that she's just going to wait until everybody else gets in and then come in differently. And most people say no. Her campaign chair, Podesta, said no, that's not going to happen. But you know, she went to Puerto Rico. She's touring the country with Bill on these speaking things. And she doesn't say no. That's the thing. If I'd made up my mind that I was not going to run again, and somebody went to the Wall Street Journal and said, yeah, you're definitely going to run again, wouldn't you come out and say, they're wrong, I'm not? What do you think's going on there?
I have no idea.
But it's true. I mean, that story is bizarre.
Yes, it really is. Well, I don't think it's a wise thing for her to do, you know.
Do you think it's the way it happened last time? If it had been, no question.
You know, it's horrible what happened. If it comes out that Mueller finds that this was really what caused the loss of that campaign, it's terrible. Think about that.
Well, that's what my feeling is. I believe the Mueller report right now is contingent on Hillary Clinton running again and John Kasich running. Because I think if the report shows that there, even if the president didn't know about it, that his campaign was in collusion some way with Russia, I do think Hillary will run again. And I think that's what she's waiting for. John Kasich the same. Because even if President Trump didn't know, it'll be damaging to him. So I really think that's what this is, why nobody's saying, definitely I'm not going to run.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, did you hear him talking last night about Manafort again and the lying that he did? And they said they thought the reason that he lied was because he was afraid of losing the chance for a pardon from the president. And sounds to me like the president knew what was going on.
Well, a lot of people feel Roger Stone is signaling for a pardon as well.
You remember Roger Stone?
He was on here November 19th and told me he wouldn't be indicted.
Yeah. I said, you know, he was hired by my opponent when I ran the second time for state treasurer. Jeff Jacobs hired him, and he helped him run his campaign.
He's angry with me right now.
Is he?
Yeah, after that November interview, there was a little, I'll tell you off the air what happened but it was strange.
Oh, really?
You know, I feel bad for him, though, in a way, to be honest with you.
I don't feel bad for him.
I know. Yeah. I feel bad to the degree that I've had him on so many times, because every time he wrote a book, he would come on.
Okay.
So I feel bad that, you know, his house got raided and all this sort of thing.
Well,
I mean, if
that,
he...
He deserved that.
Well, if it happened, I mean, if he did what he did, I agree.
He's involved. He's got to be involved.
I'm just soft-hearted on this whole thing, I guess. I don't know. It was just strange to have somebody who had been on 60 days before pulled out of his house in the middle of the night and taken down to the FBI.
I really loved that.
it's one of those things. You know, when I originally met him, he wrote a book about how LBJ killed Kennedy. And that's when I first met him. That's what he came on originally for.
Yeah. You know that guy, Corsi, that's involved with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's another interesting individual.
He is. I think he's making deals, though, with
I'm sure he is.
With the count. Yeah. But if you had to bet right now, do you think Hillary will run again?
Oh, gosh. I just hope she doesn't. She should just let history take care of itself. I just don't want her to run.
I always go back before she ran the last time. And for people who don't remember, she was defeated closely by President Obama in the primary in 2008.
Yeah.
But there's that yearbook quote from T.S. Eliot, where she says that was her favorite. It's not the winning, it's the trying again and again and again to win what you lost before.
Well, I understand that. When I lost to the clerk of courts, I was really determined to run again, and they wanted me to run for county treasurer instead, and as the best thing I could have ever done.
I figure if she's awful, as people say she is, then people won't vote for her.
But she isn't awful. But I don't want to see her go through that again.
It's looking rough for the people out there so far. Now, maybe there'll be somebody who will. Cory Booker looks pretty good, I think.
Well, I think there's a lot. I think any one of them would be a good president. I don't know of anybody that wouldn't do a good job yet.
I just think, like Elizabeth Warren, her messages seem a little mixed right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, she'd work hard at it.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Mary Ellen in 15 minutes and talk about the big event and talk about that day 25 years ago when she was sworn in as 40th Treasurer of the United States. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He really hadn't been here much since July. And the media loves John Kasich. They always have. The people that own the newspapers usually love Republicans.